Good to see your faces today. I ask that you would be in prayer that as the Lord blessed the loaves and the fishes, that was so little among so many. And yet they took up baskets full of that which remained. I ask that you pray for me today. Chapter 11 of Isaiah, I'd like to read the first four verses. Well, first five. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and the righteous, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Who's that talking about? That's talking about the Messiah. They didn't know him as Jesus, but they knew him as the Messiah coming. That would come. And there were some that still looked for the Messiah when he came, but not all recognized him as such when he did come. Some did, others did not. The Bible doesn't have much good to say about those that did not. Those that did not recognize him as the Messiah and even opposed him were good men by my eyes. By my estimation, those men were good men. They did their best to live good lives. They carried around God's book. They did their best to try to keep his laws. They thought they were doing God's service. And yet they trusted in their service, and they trusted in themselves more than they did God. They served their interests instead of God's interests to promote themselves. They judged on the outward appearance. They judged according to the seeing of their eyes and the hearing of their ears. But the Messiah did not. He didn't judge that way, did he? This scripture right here in Isaiah chapter 11 . The rabbis, learned men, recognized that, in their writings, they recognized that when Messiah was come, he would judge righteously. They recognized that he was and did not need man to describe anything to him, because he would know the heart. Even they recognized that truth by this scripture. And when Jesus did come and proved that he knew their heart and their thoughts, what happened? It should have been a catalyst and a great evidence for them to say, "This is the Messiah." And it did have that effect on some people. Let's go to the woman at the well. You remember the woman at the well? I hope you read enough to know who I'm talking about. After he left discussing some things with Nicodemus. Well, let's talk about Nicodemus for a second. In John chapter 3. Nicodemus came to him by night. And he was a Pharisee. And Jesus talked to him about seeing, being able to see the kingdom of God. And that no man could do it unless he was born again. And he said, "How can these things be?" And Jesus says, "Art thou a master of Israel and knoweth not these things?" How can you, Nicodemus, understand spiritual things if I've told you earthly things and you believe them not? I've told you earthly things that are evident, and you don't even believe that. How in the world could you believe spiritual things? And he goes on and talks to him some more. In verse 27, John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven." You're not going to be able to understand spiritual things, and probably not a lot of earthly things, looking at them in the right sense, unless it's given to you to understand them from heaven. And he told the disciples in chapter 4 and verse 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. I imagine it was a detour. You know, we want to hit the interstates, don't we? We want to get there as fast as we can to where we're going between. You know, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. I remember that from math. Sometimes the Lord took some detours. I'm glad he did. Must needs go through Samaria. And this place was near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. We've been reading about that in Bible study. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, "Give me to drink." That's familiar, isn't it? Sitting on the well, waiting on the sister to come. It's happened several times in the Old Testament. Jesus says, "Give me to drink." He was by himself because his disciples were in town buying something to eat. Then said the woman of Samaria, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest of drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." But the Jew of all Jews had dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." But she didn't. So she didn't. The woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with." She's not talking about a pencil. She's talking about a bucket. "And the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. I want you to remember that. Whether we get to it today or not, I kind of doubt it, but I want you to remember that. Well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She didn't want to do much work anymore, did she? You see, Jesus, as with Nicodemus, Jesus is speaking to her of heavenly things, and she is still thinking about low things or natural things. She don't want to work. He's not talking about working. He's talking about spiritual things. Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to drink, to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman, why did Jesus want her to go get her husband? Was he concerned about her husband? The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said. You've told the truth. I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that thou saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. You see, God gave him the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Many times in the scriptures, we find exchanges between Jesus and other people that he tells them something about themselves that they don't understand. How he knows that. How did you know that, Jesus? This is not the first time the Lord did this. You remember when Abram and Sarah was in the tent? Or Sarah was in the tent? And her being about 70-something years old, and he said, Thy wife Sarah is going to have a son. And she laughed in her heart, didn't she? And the Lord said to her, Why didst thou laugh? And she said, I didn't laugh. And he said, Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. The Lord knows what is on your mind and your heart. There's no getting around the omniscience of God. That means that God knows all things at all times, for all times. That's what omniscience means. He's consistently and constantly conscience of you and what you got on your mind and heart. Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and Jesus said, I'm telling you, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He is come, He will tell us all things. He got a pretty good head start already on her, didn't he? Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. The woman left her water pot where the disciples come. Then the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Do you see the impact that Jesus had on her as opposed to the impact that he had on the Pharisees? Most of them. Do you see the response of the woman at the well? It took Nicodemus a little bit longer than it did her. It didn't take her long to understand that this prophet is not just a prophet. He's the Christ. And there were some people, some of the men came and saw him and saw Jesus because of her word. And after they heard him speak, they believed him also, not because of her word, but because of his. That's a very stark difference between that response and the response of the unbeliever, the Pharisee, the self-righteous, the hypocrite. Ones that say and do not. Ones that like the show of it. Jesus called them whited sepulchres. Oh, they Clorox the rock on the outside. And inside, to make it look pretty. They'll clean the cup on the outside. But they won't touch the inside. Because the inside is full of dead men's bones. And all manner of bacteria and filth on the inside of the cup. But the outside is pretty, and therefore they are self-righteous. Stark difference in their response. Go to John. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9. I'm going to get back to John in a minute. Matthew chapter 9. This is the healing of the sick, a man sick of palsy. Some of his friends brought him lying on a bed to see Jesus. And Jesus saw their faith in verse 2, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes, see, that's another bunch that was in with the Pharisees. They wrote stuff down. Said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. They're talking about Jesus. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then he turned and he said to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed and walk. This is going to be an evidence to you that I have the ability, I have the power over not only the physical elements of the world, and the bodies of human beings that I can say to you, to this man, rise up and walk, and I will heal him before your eyes. Not only that, but I got, he says, that you may know that the Son of Power, a Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, not just to heal the outside, but to cure the inside, to forgive sins. And the power so that you'll know that I have that power, I'm going to prove it to you by healing this man physically in demonstration of my authority. And he did so. But he knew their thoughts. How many times, let me ask you, how many times have you thought something but said something different? Let's be real. How many times have you saw somebody doing something or wearing something and said, that's a pretty dress? When in your mind you thought, she don't need to be wearing that. It's a pretty dress. She just bought the wrong size. I mean, that's reality for human beings, isn't it? We don't want people to know what's on our mind, and we really don't want them to know what's in our heart. But God knows what's in your heart. And He knows what's in your mind. He knows your thoughts. He knows whether what you say is consistent with what's in your heart. He knows that. It's uncomfortable, but I'm glad He does. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto His disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? That's in verse 11. I can't believe that He would eat with such detestable folk. But I'm glad that He did. He eats with me. When Jesus heard that, He said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. You see, if you think you're whole, you're sick. If you think you're sick, you know you're sick, you're whole. Got it? That doesn't make any sense in the world. Not at all. But it makes perfect sense in God's kingdom. So many exchanges He had with the Pharisees. Go back to John chapter 8. Jesus went, verse 1, Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning He came again into the temple. And all the people came unto Him, and He sat down and taught them. No different than what, well, it's different in the temple, but it's no different than what we're doing this morning. We're having a session worship service, I pray. And it was interrupted by the scribes and the Pharisees. They, can you imagine? Not one or two, a bunch of them, and they have a woman with them. And they bust in the door, and they interrupt the teaching that Jesus had, and they brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, that means that they came in between him and y'all, the people, and had a chair there, or put her on the ground probably, set her down right in front of him, and here's how it goes. They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. When you get caught red-handed, there's not much defense, is it? Not much defense. They say unto him, now Moses in the law, you see, commanded us that such should be stoned. And they're right. What sayest thou? What do you say, Jesus? Master? Teacher? What do you say? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. See, they weren't really worried about what Jesus was really going to say. They were just looking for something to accuse him in order to put him to death, ultimately. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. I can just see him in my mind's eye ignoring what they have to say and begin to write something on the ground. That, I'm sure, infuriated them because he invalidated. I mean, they felt that he was invalidating their accusation or them as people because he wouldn't answer them. Don't that irritate you when somebody ignores you? It does me. I can't stand it. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Jesus was pretty smart, wasn't he? Don't matter what the law says, this is what I say. They didn't think he was going to say that. They thought he was going to say, yeah, if Moses said it, go ahead and let her rip, stone her to death. Or, no, it don't matter. Jesus didn't either one of those, didn't say either one of those, did he? He says, I want you to look inside of you and see if you have kept all the law of Moses. All of it. Because if they had, they would have been without sin. You see. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. So he stood up to address them, and then he went back and he was waiting. I would really like to know what he wrote. I don't think he was just drawing pictures. This is my opinion. And it's just my opinion, mind you, because the Bible don't tell us. But what I think that he wrote on the ground was all the instances that those scribes and Pharisees had with that woman. That's what I think. I may be wrong. Could be. It's just my opinion. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. By their leaving, they declared that there was not one among them that was without sin. Do you see that? They declared by their response to Jesus that they were sinners. They couldn't help it. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." You see, their own consciences condemned them. Jesus said, "I don't condemn you." He didn't say nothing about that to the others. I don't know where they're at. But Jesus knew their thoughts. He knew their heart. And he also knew this woman's heart. This sister right here had some great dealings with the Lord after this. You see, when you realize that God knows your heart, and you hear Him say unto you, "Neither do I condemn thee," and "go and sin no more," and you listen to Him, you'll have some wonderful dealings with Him as well. John chapter 16. Oh, there's so much. It's hard to go in the middle of this. These disciples that have been with Jesus for so long, He told the Pharisees, "Whither I go, ye cannot come." He tells the disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. For I go unto prepare a place for you." He told the scribes and the Pharisees, "Where I'm going, you can't come." But He told the disciples, "Where I'm going, I'm preparing a place for you. That where that you might be where I am. Those other ones not going to be where he is. Either now or hereafter. He tells them so much about the Spirit. And he says in verse 19, well, in verse 18, well, let me back up a little bit farther. He's talking about the Comforter and the Spirit of Truth. Talking about the Spirit in verse 14. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. That means the Spirit will show you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. A little while and ye shall not see me. And again a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while and ye shall not see me. And again a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. That's a question mark. They had no idea. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while and shall not, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament. You see, Jesus knew what they were thinking. He knew what was on their heart. And he explains it. I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. You see what happens here? And ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Isn't that true? That's true. All the pain and all the pushing, all the screaming, all of the irritation, all of the heavy, or not being able to get breath or short of breath, and all of the pain and all that. When the baby comes out and is laid on mama's chest, she don't remember all that stuff. Because all that stuff don't matter no more, because she's got her child with her. She can see him. She's holding him. She's caressing him. She's loving him. She's meeting him for the first time. And all that joy, all that pain, all that anguish, all that travail that she was in, all the uncomfortableness that she was in, fades away because of joy. You see? But your sorrow shall be turned to joy. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. You know, I've heard it said that your education is the only thing that they can't take away from you. That's not true. That's not true at all. My license could get revoked. And then what good would my training do me? Not a bit. They could take all that away. But you know what? No man, the Bible says, no man can take your joy. You know what that tells me? That my joy does not rest in what man can do. Man can't give me joy. The source of my joy is not man. If your joy has its source in man, then yes, man can take your joy away from you. Do y'all got that? If the source of your joy is anything other than Christ, I'm going so far as to say this. If the source of your joy is your husband, or your wife, or your child, or your friends, they can take it away and you will have no joy left. I've seen it. But this joy, the joy that the source of real, lasting, everlasting joy is Jesus Christ. And no man can take that from you because it don't come from man. It comes from above. You know a lot of people that have no joy? I do. You know why? Because they don't have this kind. They have the kind where they put their joy into the source down here. Whether it's their children, their husband, wife, things, whatever it is that gives them joy, it don't last. And now therefore ye have sorrow, but I'll see you again. Your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man take from you. And in that day shall ye ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask in the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day, ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. You know why? You know why he's not going to pray the Father for him? Because he's already done it. It didn't take but once. We pray continually. When Jesus prayed, the Father heard him. And he prayed that the Lord would send the Spirit. That's what that's talking about. It's not saying that he's not going to pray for us, but he says, I'm not going to pray that you receive the Spirit again, because I've already done it, that the Lord would send the Spirit. For the Father himself loveth me, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world, and again I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now, the disciples say, we are sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. You know, I thought about that a lot. All the times Jesus knew their thoughts, Jesus knew what was on their hearts. They were in the boat one time, and he said, O thou of little faith. O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have said. Did you not remember the loaves and the fishes? All those experiences where the Lord knew what was on their mind and on their heart, and they said, now we know. Now we know that you don't need any man to ask of you. You already know what's going on in our hearts. You already know what's going on in our minds. And Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Do you? Do you believe now? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet, I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I've spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation or trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I'm just going to read one more verse. It's in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Start at the beginning. For let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's not talking about the words on this page. That's talking about the Word of God, Jesus Christ. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. God knows your thoughts. He knows the intents of your heart. He knows if you're trying to whitewash the outside and inside's got dead men's bones in it. He knows that. Let our conversation always be that which becomes a follower of Christ. Let the things that we say and the things that we do be consistent with His kingdom. And I will just tell you this by experience. If you speak all your mind, you're going to get in trouble. If you speak your mind, so if somebody bought a pretty dress but just the wrong size, you might want to keep it to yourself. You understand? Food for thought. May God bless you. If any has a desire to join this church, they may come during the song service and make their wishes known. I pray that the Lord blesses us this week to have great fellowship with Him and with each other.